Welcome to the June issue of the online journal, Gospel Gazette. We appreciate all of the loyal readers of this Christian magazine published by Lewis Rushmore. Also, thanks for listening to this brief message, A Word Between Friends. Friend, do you realize there are no higher thoughts with which you and I may engage our minds than those of God? Thoughts of His holiness, His purposes, and His ways for you and me? God, our Creator, has been revealed to all of us in the pages of the Holy Scriptures in three distinct personalities. No, there are not three separate gods. There is but one God. There is one Godhead consisting of three separate personalities. There is God who is known as the Father. Jesus prayed to the Father on numerous occasions. He also taught His disciples to address the Father in their own prayers. Obviously, Jesus did not pray to Himself. Then there is the Word, who was made flesh and dwelt among men for some 33 years. He is known as Jesus of Nazareth, the virgin-born son of Mary. The third personality of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. He is also known as the Comforter, whom Jesus promised the apostles He would send upon His return to heaven. Jesus did not return in another form as the Comforter. The Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, was sent. And He continued to give testimony of Jesus, God's Son, who now reigns in heaven at the Father's right hand. Let's turn now and reflect for a moment upon God and His will for you and me. God originally created man that we might represent Him, His wisdom, His power, His glory, wherever we might happen to travel upon the earth. Where man was found, there would be a monument, if you will, to the praise and glory of God, the majestic Creator. Not only did God create us to represent Him throughout the world, but also He originally created us with the intention of having fellowship with us. You may remember it is James who writes how that man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, James 1, verse 14. We know by personal experience what it means to be tempted to do something wrong. Just as we have failed God on many occasions, so Adam and Eve, the first couple, failed God by giving in to their lust. Sin would have its adverse effect in the life of Cain, the son of Adam and Eve. He disobeyed God when he changed the offering that God had specified. God had called for an animal sacrifice, whereby blood would be shed because of their sins. However, Cain chose rather to offer the fruit of his harvest, as he was a tiller of the ground. In his jealousy, he arose and killed his own brother. The Apostle John wrote that Cain was of the wicked one. He further explains Cain's actions by indicating Cain's works were evil and his brothers were righteous, 1 John 3 and verse 12. Sin then grew and multiplied at a rapid pace until it could be described that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, Genesis 6 and verse 5. Satan, the ruler of darkness, worked feverishly to destroy the good things that God had made, including you and me. Centuries ago, if not for Noah, a man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the whole human race may well have disappeared from the face of the earth. God had predetermined to send a Redeemer, a Savior and friend, to come set us free from our bondage to the power of darkness. He had determined that He would accomplish His work through the seed line of Abraham, and then the son of promise, Isaac, and so on. The gospel writer by the name of Matthew in chapter 1, verse 1 through 17, gives us the genealogy of Jesus of Nazareth, how He was the son of David, the king, and that further He was the son of Abraham, the father of those who walk with God by faith. God sent Jesus into the world to live among men. He fairly and accurately represented the Father in every way possible. In His prayer recorded by John, Jesus spoke of the unity that was so prevalent between Him and the Father. His life was so in tune with the Father that when Philip asked Him to show them the Father, Jesus declared, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father," John 14 and verse 9. Jesus lived His lifespan under the law of Moses. He lived under the Old Covenant since the New Testament of Jesus Christ did not come into effect until His own death. In addressing the multitudes in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew records the following words of our Lord. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Matthew 5:17. In this text, Jesus was not suggesting that the law of Moses would remain in effect for all time. Jesus fulfilled the demands of the Mosaic law by keeping it without a single instance of failure. In this connection, Jesus did what no man before him or even after him could accomplish. Jesus lived sinlessly. Jesus lived without flaw, without fault. Jesus was not a renegade. His teachings and practices came into conflict at times with the scribes and the Pharisees and other sects over their human traditions, which they saw as superseding even the Word of God. However, Jesus and his teachings were never in conflict with the will of heaven. This is heaven's will for you and me, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, as it were, that we humbly surrender our will to his only begotten Son, the one the Father has made Lord over us all. Again, thanks for joining us for this segment, and share it, if you would, with your friends. And until next time, may the Lord bless each of you.